This reading is from Leviticus chapter 19, starting at verse 32. Rise in the presence of the aged and show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. When an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you are aliens in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights, an honest eviha, and an honest hymn. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Israel. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath magnified me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him throughout all generations. He hath showered strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble and meek. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He remembering his mercy hath opened his servant Israel, as he promised to our forefathers, Abraham and his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time You were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
The simple rectangular stone church in Luen is centuries old. It stands on the steep slopes of the Schenfig Valley between Chur and Arosa in Switzerland. Medieval paintings of biblical scenes line the church. The large figures of the apostles are painted in golden splendor at the chancel end. Scenes from Matthew's nativity narrative adorn the sides. On the southern wall, the slaughter of the innocents is depicted in grim detail. On the northern wall, Joseph leads the donkey with Mary and the child on their flight to Egypt. The scenes were painted over during the Reformation, but have since been restored. Luen lies somewhere between the railway line and the road that connects the tourism resort of Arosa to the world. Millions of tourists make their way to Arosa each year. After all, it rivals Davos in international recognition among the wealthy and discerning travelers. It is one of the ski resorts frequented by the English royal family. But few travelers leave the main road to turn into the sleepy village of Luen. Few hop off at the railway station and walk up the hill to the village. And even fewer people from outside make their way to the little church clinging to the mountainside at the edge of the village. Sometimes visitors interested in medieval art arrange to visit the church. They need to ring ahead, and the parish office can arrange viewing times. There are also church services here, twice a month, because the pastor has to hold several services across the small villages that lie in the valley. Often the service here only starts at 11 o'clock. One sunny Sunday in March, a few travelers made their way from the railway station to the little church in Luen. Snow still lay in many parts of the valley, especially those shaded by mountains or trees. Snow still covered the higher slopes and mountain tops. It had only melted from some lower sun-drenched slopes and cleared roads.
The little girl among the travellers walked bravely up the hill, though she was just over a year old and had only made her first three steps a bit over 2 months ago. We had left the other side of Switzerland early that morning to get to this church, but it was possible because the service only began at 11 a.m. At the time, we had an annual public transport pass for Switzerland and combined our excursions to various parts of Switzerland with church visits, and we marveled at the beautiful architecture and even more beautiful settings, and got to know churches and people from throughout the country. You'll hear some more about some of those church visits at the fellowship in this month. In all our time in Switzerland, we never have been welcomed to any church so enthusiastically as in Luyen. It was especially the pastor who was overjoyed that some visitors should make it to a service in this little church. Visitors do come occasionally to look at the pretty church, but they don't linger to take part in a service. The pastor talked with us before and after the service, and even put in a few English words from the pulpit to make sure my wife understood something of the sermon. Originally, the pastor came from Hamburg, Germany, and then later on lived in New York, and now he served in this large rural parish in Switzerland. I have to say that the sermon was not the greatest I've ever heard. It was a good attempt to convey the starkness of the gospel, but was somewhat flat in its conclusion. I think that in his attempt to understand the words, the pastor emphasized the historical context too much, nearly explaining away the meaning of the words through historical criticism. The small church had no organ, just a harmonium. The harmonium player was a young man, not older than 20. I was amazed. I have never heard anyone play a harmonium so well. He got the absolute maximum out of that instrument. While there are many who can make beautiful music with a good instrument, it is an art to make beautiful music on a very basic instrument. As in most churches we've visited during the year, my singing could have drowned out that of the entire congregation. So it was time to hold back while still enjoying the hymns. I was nevertheless complimented by some of the members of the congregation later on. The pastor later told us that the 30-year war after the Reformation had also reached this area. And while the region looks peaceful now, there was a lot of fighting over the centuries, with lords controlling their small holdings, forging alliances and enmities with neighbors and foreign powers. We spent some time in the Schanfigg Valley and enjoyed the nice surroundings and friendly people that day. In the afternoon, we finally came to Arosa near the head of the valley. The contrast of this international resort was stark. Here, crowds and commerce dominate. Hospitality is only offered to make money. But in the little church of Luyen, we received a personal welcome. We talked to the locals as equals. Here we were brothers and sisters from afar. I have Swiss ancestors and know quite a bit about Swiss history, politics, and custom. I have quite a few relatives in Switzerland. But when we lived in Switzerland for some time, we were indeed strangers in the land. Sometimes we were welcomed, sometimes not so much. Of course, there, like in many other places, people are aware of the problems created by high immigration, especially by people with different cultures and different values. In Switzerland, there is quite some ambivalence towards the many immigrants that have come to the country. However, in the church, the immigrants are generally welcome, because that is probably even more so because one of the largest immigrants groups in Switzerland, right after people from neighboring European countries, are people from Eritrea. Those people are mainly Christian and have integrated into a variety of denominations. The church in Switzerland stands apart from the general population in its welcome of foreigners. Through that, the church takes up its biblical heritage. In our reading from Leviticus, right there among the laws of honoring the elderly and using honor scales, is the command to love the alien living in the land. This is not just an obscure command in the legalistic book of Leviticus. No, it is a common theme in the Old Testament. The people are told again and again to care for the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner. Foreigners are among those who require special protection because they are vulnerable in a strange land. I think it goes beyond concern for the vulnerable. For in the Old Testament, there is also the clear expectation that the whole world is invited to the worship of the true God. Yes, there's also a certain wariness of foreigners in the Old Testament, because foreigners may contaminate Israel. They may draw the people away from their God and destroy the covenant community. Therefore, boundaries are maintained. Still, overall, the Old Testament points towards drawing the whole world into that covenant. In the letter to the Ephesians, the church is reminded that indeed people from every nation, from all families of the earth, have been brought into God's covenant people through Jesus. Here, the foreigner has found a home. Consequently, we are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The church follows its Lord when it makes this welcome a reality. When we have people from every nation in our midst, when we are indeed a multi-ethnic family with Jesus at its center. But this welcome of the foreigner should not just be exhausted by ethnicity. Rather, it means that we welcome the person who recently moved into our country, who moved into our towns, our city, our neighborhood. The people who do not really feel welcome at home here, may they find a home in this, the local church. For in the church we are connected across the world. We are part of the family of God. In Jesus, there is neither Greek nor Jew. There is neither Swiss or Kiwi, neither English or Sri Lankan. We are first and foremost disciples of Jesus Christ. And so the welcome of other Christians is part of our being followers of Jesus. And from this, we welcome all people. Amen.